From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Care of the Poor. The text is Psalm 41 and verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Remember that this is a promise to the man who considers the poor. Are you one of these? Then take home the text. See how in the hour of sickness the God of the poor will bless the man who cares for the poor. The everlasting arms shall stay up his soul, as friendly hands and downy pillows stay up the body of the sick. How tender and sympathizing is this image! How near it brings our God to our infirmities and sicknesses! Who ever heard this of the old heathen Jove, or of the gods of India or China? This is language peculiar to the God of Israel. He it is who deigns to become nurse and attendant upon good men. If he smites with one hand, he sustains with the other. Oh, it is blessed fainting when one falls upon the Lord's own bosom and is borne thereon. Grace is the best of restoratives. Divine love is the safest stimulant for a languishing patient. It makes the soul strong as a giant, even when the bones are breaking through the skin. No physician like the Lord, no tonic like His promise, no wine like His love. If the listener has failed in his duty to the poor, let him see what he is losing, and at once become their friend and helper.
Grace and glory fill my heart.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called The Peculiar Power of the Gospel. Paul's thesis for the book of Romans is found in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The first thing we noted about the gospel is its divine origin. Then the subject of the gospel is the righteousness of God. It has nothing to do with man's works, but with the righteousness which comes from God alone. This is the righteousness which Christ earned by his death on the cross, and which God imputes to those who believe in Christ. Furthermore, this righteousness is received by faith alone. Mental assent to the truths of the gospel is not enough. To be saved, one must believe on Christ with all the heart. God's promise is that all who receive this righteousness which God has provided in Christ shall live. As Martin Luther learned to his everlasting joy, all who are justified by faith in Christ shall live. Now to conclude this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
This gospel is a revelation. It's a revelation of a divine righteousness, a righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is received by faith alone. We come now to another little phrase that is highly controversial. Revealed, and then we read from faith or by faith to faith. That has led to some of the strangest ideas from preachers. In the early days of the church fathers liked to say that it was from the Old Testament faith to the New Testament faith. How they ever came up with that one's hard to say, but they did. Some said it was from the faith of the preacher to the faith of the hearer. The idea that most have adopted is that it's from a weak faith to a strong faith. The idea that very often when faith first lays hold of Christ, it is but a weak faith, and then it leads to stronger faith. From one degree of faith to another. I'm not going to discuss all these things for the simple reason that none of them really comes to terms with Paul's meaning. Take this little phrase, from faith or by faith to faith. How do you construe that? With what do you link it in the text? Do you link it with righteousness? A righteousness by faith to faith is revealed. Or do you link it with revealed? A righteousness is revealed by faith to faith. Now, I think once you put the question that way, you get the answer. Personally, and I have tried very hard to do this, I cannot attribute any clear meaning whatsoever to the statement that the gospel of the righteousness of Jesus Christ is revealed by faith. I can't make any sense out of that statement. And I have not read anybody else who's made any sense out of that statement, even those who defend it. You stop and think of it. What on earth would that mean? The gospel of justifying righteousness is revealed by or out of faith. I suppose that's what led the early church fathers to say it was out of the faith of the Old Testament. Clearly, it's an almost meaningless statement. The gospel was revealed by God. You may say the gospel was revealed by grace. You have to say the gospel is revealed to faith, not by faith. Now, once you've established that, I think you get the answer, because on the other hand, it is the very essence of the doctrine of Romans to say that the righteousness which God has provided is a righteousness which is by faith. A justification which is by faith. Now, we begin to get somewhere. In the gospel, our righteousness of God by faith is revealed. Take that as one word, more or less. Righteousness by faith, hyphenated. It's one expression. What is revealed in the gospel? A righteousness from God as its source. God as its provider. A righteousness by faith. That's what's revealed. And it's revealed unto faith. In other words, it's revealed to be believed. Now we're getting, I think, to what Paul is saying here. See, my great theme is a righteousness by faith. The Jews have all believed in a righteousness by works. So have the Gentiles, by the way. That's the nature of fallen man. By nature, sinners believe in a righteousness by works. Paul says the divine revelation is of a righteousness by faith. In the person and work of Him who is our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is revealed to be believed. Ah, now we come to something that is very, very important. What I'm preaching to you tonight, I said, is not a theory. So it's not just for you to cogitate upon and hold up and dissect as you would any other theory. This is not even a doctrine simply to admire. This is a divine revelation to be received by faith, and faith of a very particular kind. This is saving faith. It includes, but it transcends mere intellectual assent. Devils have an intellectual assent to the truths that the Bible sets forth, but they perish. This faith is more than a nodding acquaintance with or an agreement with the Bible, its history and its doctrine. The old Puritan historical faith. There are people who believe the histories of the Bible, the Old and New Testament. They believe the doctrines of the Bible. They believe the claims of the Bible, the statements of the Bible. But they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this faith is more than a surface emotion based on a momentary stimulus or a momentary excitement. You remember in our studies in the life of Christ in John chapter 2, the end of that chapter, verses 23, 24, we saw that there were people who were moved by the miracles that they saw Jesus doing, and they believed in him. But he didn't believe in them. He didn't have any faith in their profession of faith. He knew that it was just a surface emotion coming out of the excitement of seeing the miracles. They had no heart for him. Saving faith accepts all that God reveals as true. But then it receives from the heart this truth. And it commits the soul to the merit of Christ alone for salvation. With the heart, we read in Romans 10:10, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. See, if you're not a believer tonight, the problem is not just with your mind. Oh, the mind is darkened. But the problem is also with the heart. The inmost soul. The seat of your affection and will. When you believe from the heart, you believe cordially and wholeheartedly. So faith assents to the truth, and faith accepts the Savior in a total commitment of the soul to Christ. And it confesses him as Lord. As Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I want you to get this. You could say, I believe in the doctrine of justification by faith alone, and yet not have any faith in Christ. This is not a doctrine to be revealed or to be set before you simply as a matter for your assent or your argument. It's a doctrine that is revealed from heaven for you to receive it by faith, giving up all hope in yourself to embrace Christ as your righteousness. That's why we sang the hymn of Robert Murray McShane, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. At first, said McShane, that meant nothing to me. Oh, I could weep at the story of the cross. I could shed tears at the sufferings of Christ. But I had no interest in Jehovah Tsidkenu. But then, free grace awoke me by light from on high. And legal fears, or the fears of the broken law, shook me and I trembled to die. Here was his testimony. At last he saw himself, a poor, trembling, unrighteous, guilty sinner. And what was his answer? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the righteousness of Christ, imputed, received by faith alone. That's the answer. Make sure tonight that you've received it by faith. Because finally, let me say this, that everyone who receives the righteousness that God has provided in Christ by faith shall live. Now here again there's controversy. Does the text say the one who is justified shall live by faith? Or does the text say the one who is justified by faith shall live? Each of those statements contains a great truth. The man who's justified will live by faith. But that doesn't appear to me to be Paul's point here. Everyone who is justified by faith shall live. He'll live in the fullest sense of the word. That's the message of the apostle. And that's actually part of the structure of this epistle. One of the best commentators on this epistle structures his whole analysis on this. The first part is dealing with the justified by faith. And the second great part of the epistle is dealing with shall live. I think the structure certainly supplies a key to understanding this text. It's a glorious truth. If you're justified by faith, you'll live. That's equivalent to being saved. Think of this quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. What a vivid illustration. Habakkuk was concerned at the coming destruction of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. He couldn't see why Judah, for all its wickedness, was going to be overrun by Babylonian heathens. And he cried to God about this. Because while Judah was wicked, surely Babylon was far more wicked. How could God allow it? So he's in confusion of mind. In chapter 2 of Habakkuk, he says he's going to go into his watchtower. He's going to wait upon God. And as he does so, the Lord assures Habakkuk the prophet that he would deal with Babylon in his own time. But that time was in the distant future. Thus clearly, all that had been said about Babylon overrunning Jerusalem and Judea, destroying it all, would come to pass. The reason he gives for this revelation is that he may run that readeth it. That he may run that readeth it. It's not that he who runs may read it, but he who reads it may run. What does that mean? According to most commentators, it has the idea, however great a man's haste, he may still be able to understand it. And I have to confess that I can't see that in the text at all. I think this is a very simple text. It's the very reason God gives to me for preaching. Why do you preach about heaven and hell? Why do you preach about coming destruction? Why do you warn about the consequences of sin? Why do you show them the only way of salvation and life? In order that he may run who hears the message. The idea here is because of what he reads, he will run. What would be Judah's response? In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4a, you have the idea of one whose soul is not upright, and in his pride he rejects the message. But then the second part of the verse in contrast, but the just by his faith shall live. And then the fall of Jerusalem, that's precisely what happened. You remember the ministry of Jeremiah? He gave the people the gospel. He gave them the way of salvation. He gave them the way of light and life and liberty. And he told them, the Babylonians are going to overrun this place. If you accept the judgment of God, if you will go out, submit, surrender, you will live. The proud imprisoned him. And they perished. And those who obeyed Jeremiah's call to flee Jerusalem and surrender lived. The proud perished. Those justified by their faith lived. This is the truth that Paul takes up in a higher sense. All who trust the Lord Jesus Christ receive his righteous merit. They shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.